And like I was thinking about last night, and I was just like, oh my gosh, now I'm gonna end up saying everything from episode 5 while talking about episode 4. I do that
Well,
sometimes with other shows.
I know, I do too. Well, yeah, like I do that too, but try not to because I haven't seen
You can't go on thinking nothing's wrong.
You're listening to the TV Zone podcast coverage of the assassination of Gianni Versace. I'm your host, Chantel. Joining me is my brother, Christian. Hello.
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 How are you?
Super.
How you doing?
Excellent. Thank you.
I wish I could say the same. I've been chafing for the last, like, 4 days.
Chafing?
Yes, chafing.
You know,
it's
I used to have the
fucking
same
worst.
problem, and this happens when you have fender thighs, but you just have to wear, like, shorts under your pants.
I've heard that. Yes. I mean, I don't know. I'm on like a 6 day work marathon, and
I thought
I just,
shaving was a lady's problem, so
well,
never
you know,
man.
I forgot to tell you about my vagina.
Oh.
It's a real issue, but I'll spare you all the details. But yes, chafing, not fun. I tell you all, you have to, like, you reach a point where you just start, like, walking funny, you know what I'm saying? This way
I
the
know
burning
exactly what you're
can
saying.
stop.
You put Vaseline on?
No.
You're just not doing any of the proper things you're supposed to do.
What? How can I, like, I'm at work.
You
I don't
already
think
wear
to bring
boxers.
Vaseline.
I don't understand. If you're already wearing boxers, how are you chafing? Are you going commando? Are you not
no,
wearing boxers?
No, I don't get it myself. I don't know. It just keeps happening. This is the third day in a row I've been chafing. I feel so gross. And I'm like, I can't take it anymore.
Oh. All right, well, calm down.
I am calm.
It's gonna be okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, anything else you'd like to say about your chafing?
No, that's about it.
I hope you recover soon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I wanted to ask you about the 15-17 to Paris, but we can discuss that another time.
Oh, I do have some thoughts. Don't watch.
I know. I'd like to review it on our For Frodo podcast because, honestly, it's just such a damn. What?
Apart from the awful acting, I'm just thinking about how a 5 minute story was told in an hour and 28 minutes. And that's what
it shouldn't have been. The movie is worth seeing for 15 minutes total. However, you have to wait an hour and 15 minutes to get to it. And it's just not. It's the worst movie Clint Eastwood's ever done.
I just don't understand why he thought that their background stories were important.
They're
it wasn't.
Not.
It's showing you things like them in school. As children, them in school,
nobody
as
gives a
teenagers.
Shit. I know. Well, my thing is, okay, so I was thinking about this morning at 5 o'clock when I was laying in bed. I guarantee you, Clint Eastwood showed up to the set of that movie. He was like, yeah, I have a lot of errands to run, but you all can just do your thing and I'll be back. And so then, like, by the time it was time to film the train sequences, he was like, okay, now I'm interested. You like, what have I missed?
You sound
like
Batman.
I know. I do, but I mean that's how he sounds. But
oh,
okay.
Here, tell me, say it's gonna get fucking ugly, but say it in that voice.
It's gonna get fucking ugly. I like that one.
Yeah.
Tow.
Like okay. Every time I watch Gran Torino, like I laugh at things that aren't supposed to be funny. It's because he
yeah.
says it, and he's just so racist, it's hilarious.
It is. It's funny. It's a funny movie. Like, Trevor explained what Zipperhead was to me, and I was really disturbed.
Well, what is
yeah,
it?
It's really horrible.
Is it something to do with scalping?
No, it's more of like, okay, so you know on, like, tanks, it's like, I don't know how, the wording of... I'm trying to find the words for it. Okay, so, like, I'll explain it another time. Because
right,
I don't
want to
sound
like
an idiot.
To me, I'm a little curious.
But, It's fucked up. But...
Well, that was quite an introduction that we just had. Nothing.
I thought so
anything,
too.
But, very good. Interesting.
From chafing to the 1570 to Paris. I mean, the pain levels in both scenarios are pretty close. I'd say, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. Sorry about that.
No, it was good. We laughed, we cried, and now it's over.
Yeah.
So, let's talk Versace. I can't believe we're only on episode 4. I feel like this has been going on forever.
I do too. And, you know, it occurred to me, during this episode, and well, the last one too, I guess, but why haven't we really, I mean, I guess I haven't seen episode 5 yet. Spare me the details. I'll try to see it this week. But why? Where has Versace been? Where is he?
I'll answer that very quickly, and I won't get into it because I don't want to spoil anything. But they trick you in the next episode into thinking it's actually about him by opening and closing with him and paralleling him with an actual story that has nothing to do with him.
Oh, really?
So it opens again with him, and then he's featured maybe once more for another 2-3 minutes. Later on in the episode, and I was like, well, what the fuck? Like, I thought it was going to be about him. It's not about him at all. It's just about Andrew, the Andrew show.
That's what I figured. That's what I've gathered from the past 2 episodes. Well, actually, I've gathered that from every episode so far, and that's fine, because he's more than likely the more interesting character, but at the same time, it's like, you put Gianni Versace's name in the title, I kind of expect a little more. Especially whenever they gave, you know, they introduced some illness in the second episode. I still don't really know what it is.
Yeah, they only touch on that very briefly in the next one. They don't even say anything about it. They don't even say what it was. But it's not like Gianni Versace was a nobody.
No, I know. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe we'll get more from him later on.
And I'm not totally disappointed, though. I think the more interesting shit to follow here is on Andrew.
They're definitely focusing on the more interesting aspect of the show.
It's called the Assassination of Gianni Versace, but it's really just about the shit leading up to the assassination of Gianni Versace.
Yes, it's told very weirdly. This episode takes place before the previous episode.
It's called House by the Lake, which I didn't understand until the end. But
yes.
So, it begins in Minneapolis, 1997, and that's like a week before the Lee Miglin murder. And I was confused about some things in this a lot. And
okay.
It's going to be very difficult for me, as I was telling you before, not to bring up episode 5, which I just saw last night, because
yes,
it just answered all my weird questions. Now, let me just talk about what you're supposed to assume, I guess, after watching this episode. And now this is going to confuse the fuck out of you, because you'll be like, what do you mean? Assume. Now, what would you assume the relationship between Andrew and David is? David is the young man who's introduced. He's an architect, I believe. A gay young man. Handsome. Lives in Minneapolis. Andrew is there visiting him. We're told that he... I'm going to fuck this up completely. Okay, what would you assume his relationship is with this man?
Okay, so... I don't... Because, they don't seem like a couple. Not really. But I guess that's what you would assume, correct? Because,
yeah.
I mean, that seems like the only logical thing, but at the same time, though, I could just see, knowing how Andrew gets, I could just see him taking a friendship and, having a delusional fantasy about it, but judging from the opening, he's the jealous type.
Yes, another thing. So I was led to believe, I assumed that he's staying with his boyfriend. Because another man he's got a boyfriend named David, I guess, lover, what have you, named David, who lives in Minneapolis. And you hear that they had an argument the night before, and to which Andrew apologizes. And then a young man named Jeff shows up. at the apartment. Andrew asks David to go open the door downstairs because you can't buzz someone for some reason in this apartment. And he knows it's Jeff. Jeff's coming by. Why is Jeff coming by? Who's Jeff? I don't know. But you see David go downstairs. He's unhappy. Well, he gets a job promotion, so he's happy. But then he and Andrew are arguing, so he's... It's an awkward fucking thing. I don't know. But we learn from Jeff, who's downstairs waiting, that... No, we learn from... David tells Jeff that Andrew had proposed to him the night before. And they're both kind of, like, talking about him. And Andrew's already suspicious of the two of them, which is why he tells David to go downstairs. Oh, you two will have a chance to talk about me on the way up. That's what he says.
Yeah.
So he goes to collect Jeff. Jeff is there because he says Andrew stole his gun. What? So we already know some shit's about to go down. You got a jealous Andrew who's been rejected by his lover with marriage and thinks that his lover is cheating on him with a man named Jeff. So, Jeff and David walk upstairs. David goes into the room with the dog or some shit. No, I'm already wrong. David leaves the room. Jeff is in the room with the
yes.
dog. And Andrew picks up a hammer and completely bludgeons Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Bashes his fucking head open. And you hear the dog barking, and David just kind of sits there, correct? He doesn't really...
The last thing I remember is he yells, Andrew, like in a weird way. And then Andrew
puts
his fucking ham on this guy's face with a hammer. And, then he puts down the hammer, he goes towards David, who's obviously freaked the fuck out, and starts backing up and cowering, and he's like, are you gonna kill me? And he says, no, I love you. Oh, okay. But, I don't know, it's all very strange. So, David asks Andrew to call the police, obviously. And Andrew does not, he refuses to let David leave. He pretty much manipulates him into thinking if he actually does call the police, then they're both going to go down for this, obviously, because David led Jeff upstairs. And it's his apartment. And I don't know. He's so good at manipulating things, but David doesn't really give a fuck. He still wants to call the police anyways. And he doesn't realize that he's not going to be able to leave the situation until he asks for the phone to call the police. He calls the police, and then Andrew puts a gun in his face. So after that, you realize he's not going anywhere. This is his fate. And, they pretty much flee. They decide to head for the border. Not they, but Andrew decides they are going to head for the border of Mexico to get away. And the police eventually arrive. I think that the police in this show are made to look pretty stupid. Because...
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, like, this guy... Well, okay, I guess he is pretty smart, but at the same time, like, he just, you know, blows through town after town, and they don't really, you know, ever stop him. Like...
No, they don't. I mean, how many people are you going to let him fucking kill before you contain the situation? But not only that, they show up in this situation because, in David's friend, a lady named Linda, who he works with, she freaks out because he didn't come to work, so she calls the police. And the police arrive. They walk in without a warrant. And they find a dead body on the floor rolled up in a rug. And they start to speculate whose body it may be. And they kind of fuck the whole thing up. Like, first they think that it's David. David is the dead man. Because they find what Andrew intentionally put out on the bed with some, like, you know, some sex toys and, like, S&M kind of shit.
Come on.
Yeah, he's got a thing for, like, setting up scenes, you know?
He does. He's a sick fucker. Like, I don't know who he thinks he is. Exactly, but I mean, like, from what you gather, after he killed Lee in the previous episode, he, like, outs people, but yeah. He has no right to do so, because that just makes him a hypocrite. But I guess he doesn't really give a fuck, because, you know, he just does whatever
he
wants.
The way that he pulls out the sex toys and everything, it's just, like, totally unnecessary. He knows what he's doing, I guess, because the police arrive, they see that on the bed, and they form the conclusion that David had some random guy come over that he must have met, I don't know, what did they say, in a bar or something like that? Has this guy come over for some random sex. Things get rough. David ends up dead and wrapped up in a rug. But then they conclude that the man in the rug doesn't have blonde hair. So, therefore, David himself must be the murderer. And the man in the rug was the one that met with this ill fate. And they think that the man in the rug is Andrew, because Linda says that he had a friend named Andrew over, who was weird and full of shit, you know? So they're just kind of stupid. And then at the end of all this being wrong, they decide, oh, well, we have to leave now, because we don't have a warrant. They realize that David is still alive, they've just pretty much broken into his apartment and gone through his shit, so they have to leave. And, you know, Linda's sitting there like, what do you mean? You know, what do you mean you're just gonna leave? Like, there's a dead body in there. They leave the dead body, they leave the crime scene completely, they just walk out. Like, we're gonna do this the right way. We're gonna come back with a warrant. They're just kind of stupid.
They are idiots. Yeah. Total idiots. I mean, had those idiots, you know, come prepared or something, they could have stopped him already.
Okay, well, I have to ask, is it just me, or do you think that because of the show's gay influences, you know, Ryan Murphy and whatever, do you think that they just don't like, they don't like the police, so they don't want to make them look particularly helpful?
That does probably have something to do
Andrew
with it.
Even mentions, oh, he says, the police aren't going to help you, David, you're a fag. And all
yeah,
that.
I remember
like
that.
Yeah.
They hate us.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed Ryan Murphy, I think he's a great writer. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great showrunner. But he does, like, he makes his views on things very known. And that is probably, like, why the police come across as bumbling fucktards. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, like, some of them are, yes. I mean, like, some of them, you know, pull people over for, you know, going 5 miles over the speed limit. They're probably just trying to reach their quota, you know. The donut shop's closed. They just have nothing better to do.
Well, you get that mostly from small-town cops, which we know everything about.
Yes, yes, we do.
I got a ticket for running a stop sign that I didn't run because I knew there was a cop behind me, and I saw him. And he said, well, you were on your phone, weren't you? And I was like, yeah. Oh, so you probably weren't paying attention. Oh, here we go, motherfucker.
God, they're such fuckers. I hate this place. But, anyways, yes. So, I think you're onto something there.
Cause... Okay, so that was just an idea that I had because they make a point of saying that the police don't like them because they're gay and they will not help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and have you noticed, like, with most of Ryan Murphy's shows, I think everyone there's a little gay to go to go around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Like. In Feud, there was a little gay sprinkled in there. American Horror Story, always. I mean, there's no nothing wrong with it. I've just noticed he always does it.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right about that. Yeah. I guess, but I guess it'd be like, you know, he's like the Tyler Perry of gay.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, but... That's funny. I don't know why. That's true, though.
Yeah. So, you do see a little backstory here. And I think this episode is kind of sad for many reasons. But I do think that the actor, his name's Cody Fearn, playing David, was kind of an interesting discovery of an actor. I thought he did a really excellent job.
I agree. Because I looked him up as I was watching it.
I did too.
I was like, this guy is good. Like, I've never seen him before. I don't know why they chose him, but I'm glad they did.
No, he's an Australian actor. And I was very impressed with his performance. He was convincing. And
he was.
You see a bit of his backstory. like with him and his father, who he obviously loves, but he's like a very outdoorsy, manly man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, as I was watching that though, like he goes hunting with his father, and there's a dead duck, like, and he runs off crying. It kind of reminded me of like you and Dad. Not that Dad hunts.
I knew you were gonna say that.
But I wanted to ask you, as a gay man, how it felt to you when Dad realized that you were gay.
God, shut the fuck up.
We'll come back to that.
That's okay. We don't have to. But...
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Right, yeah.
I'm just joking. Christian's not gay. Well, it's not that he's not gay. He's just not out of the closet, I guess.
Oh, God. Blown out your ass, bitch. Well, neither are you.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry, Hans. But...
Hey, Hans.
Or Hans. I apologize. Hans makes me think of the villain in Die Hard. not the actual Hans, but when I say Hans, like, you know, instead of Hans, that's what I think about. Hans Gruber.
This is why I feel like it's okay for me to say certain things, because I myself am not, I guess, considered straight, whatever. I like what I like, that's all. And
mm-hmm.
Same for you, so what's the problem?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so what were we talking about?
You being gay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then you switched it back to you being gay. Okay. So yeah, I thought Cody Fern was very interesting. Even if he looks like an adult 8-year-old, like, still did.
Whoa,
I hope to see him more. He's in the next episode, thank God.
Oh, okay. See, I saw he was listed for that, and I was like, but he's dead.
Well, so is, what's his name, Finn, what's his
name? Okay, so this does, oh god, I can't wait to see it. Now
I did not know it was going to go back to that. I was thinking, when I saw Finn Wittrock, I was like, oh, that's a weird thing for him to have a five, like, he was only in the show for less than 5 minutes, and
I thought it was weird, too, but,
it's like, you had to pass him as that?
There will be more pieces. Like, I think the show is just putting the puzzle together in a very interesting order. Like, it's like they're finding pieces underneath the couch, and then they're just, you know, I don't know. But
yeah, well, I don't know. It doesn't. Not a whole lot happens after they decide to head for the border. They go to this, like, dive bar, and David's, like, in the bathroom trying to escape, and Andrew's having, like, this desperado moment while...
That he is.
Yeah, like, while this lounge singer is singing to drive, you know? Is that what
yes. Drive? I actually... That lounge singer is Amy Mann. I don't know if you all are aware of Amy Mann. I said this as I was watching the episode. Amy Mann did the soundtrack for Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia, which is, like, my favorite movie. And also, she, I don't know, do you know the song Voices Carry?
So wait, she sings that one that's like, what is the loneliest
song? Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know that, I don't know.
You don't know Voices Carry?
Maybe if you sing it to me.
Well, okay, she was in... believe me, I'll get there. She used to be in a band called Till Tuesday, and they sang this 80s song called Voices Carry. Yeah. Keep it down now. Voices Carry. That's her.
Alright, that's a decent song. Okay, so she...
But yes, I thought it was... I hadn't seen her. I saw her on an episode of Portlandia one time where she played herself.
That's weird.
And she was like a maid. But that was the first time I'd seen her in a while. And honestly, I thought her cover of that song, while not as good as the chorus version of it, I thought it was good. And I liked that scene a lot, too. I, too, had a mild desperado moment just listening to her, you know, jam that out.
It reminded me of... Well, remember that part in the movie John Cusack? The movie with John Cusack.
Let me see. Store. Better Off Dead.
No, he works in a record store.
High Fidelity.
Okay. Remember when he goes to that, like, bar and there's that lady singing the Peter Frampton song?
Ooh, baby, I love you.
And everybody's just kind of enchanted. Like,
I can picture, yeah, I knew as soon as you said the record store, just what scene you were referring to.
Well, why is it that Andrew is crying while he's listening to the song? What about?
I don't know.
Because then David returns to the table and he's just like, "All right, well, fuck that," because he couldn't get out. And
maybe it's like a, I don't know. Just maybe he's like, no, I can't quite say that because, you know, his behavior never improves, but maybe in that glimpse, he just has, like, I don't know, like, somewhat of an awakening, like he's, like, snapping back to reality a little bit. I don't know, that's the only thing I can really think of, but,
because I was surprised to see him cry. Like, sociopaths don't express.
Exactly, that's what I was about to say. That was the most emotion I've seen from him.
Well, I know that because in the very first episode, he's on the beach crying, and then he goes to throw up.
Yes.
But, like, I don't know why he does, because he already killed, like, four people before that. It's not like this is new to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, so he's listening to Drive, he realizes something, and he's happy to see David when he comes back. And it's like a weird romantic moment on one side of it anyway. It's not
like on the other side, he's like, I need to get the fuck out of here as soon as possible. And,
Well, I'm thinking that maybe he does love him because they go to this restaurant the next day. And obviously I misread what was happening. Though maybe I didn't. I don't know. David kind of, he's, what's the word? Reminiscing about how he met with Andrew. He's like, do you remember how we met? And we were at the bar, and I was alone, and you sent me a drink, and you had everybody laughing, and it was so glamorous, and this and that. And he just starts to kind of call him out on his bullshit, like, about how he's a liar and everything. And Andrew pays, like, no heed to this. He just continues to go on and on about other things, and David has to be like, just stop, you know, because he can't fucking stop. He can't switch off.
I know.
Yeah, it's pretty awkward, though. And that argument just leads to pretty much a complete breakdown, like, when they're in the car. Right after this, they're driving, and David doesn't want to let it go, and I really wish he would, for his own sake.
I know. I sat there, like, watching that, and I was like, there's no way this is going to end well, because one would think that he would understand how much of a fucking nut Andrew is, but
after everything he's seen, I mean,
yeah,
you would think, but no, he doesn't want to chill, so he continues to go on, get it, Andrew, he says, oh, well, that's why Jeff left you, and then he learned that he must have dated Jeff himself, because he mentions that Jeff left him also.
Mm-hmm.
So, this leads to a struggle, which they go off the road, and Andrew gets very upset, and he gets out of the car with his gun, and he drags David out of the passenger seat into the grass by this house, by the lake.
Hence the name.
Yeah. And, I don't know, it's only sad from there. He's telling David to convince him that it's still a good plan. David's on his knees begging for his life. And Andrew doesn't believe him, obviously, because it's too late now. He's already fucked the plans up. He should have just shut up, really.
He should have.
Well, what's he going to do? Suffer in silence for the rest of his life? It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think, had it been me when I was at the bar, or you know, at the restaurant, I probably would have said something like, please help me. This man is fucking crazy and he has a gun.
I would have too. I'd have, well, yeah. I mean, like, if you're surrounded by, I would have went up to Amy Mann. I'd have been like, please, get me out of here.
Well, what happened to the dog? Do they still have the dog at this point?
I don't think so, but I also don't know. I don't remember seeing the dog with them, so it might just be at home.
Okay. But yeah, so David gets off his knees and decides to run for it, which is stupid.
Yes.
He sees his house behind him, he runs into the house, and he sees his father, so then he realizes, well, this isn't real, because his father wouldn't be in this house. And his father offers him a cup of tea, but what really happens is he attempts to run and he gets shot in the fucking back. And
I like that scene. It reminds me of something. I can't put my finger on it, but as it was happening, I was reminded of whatever that something was, and I was like, ah, that's good, because it's like it's a bummer, but. It's more effective that way, I think, you know?
It was like sad. I felt like it was a love story gone wrong, but then you learn not so much in the next episode.
In the next episode? Okay. Well,
so
shit.
How did it go from them having a happy fucking relationship to murder and, well, homicide, really?
Mm-hmm.
So he shoots him in the back, he goes down, and then he shoots him again in the eyeball. Sucks.
No, then, I bet you love that, didn't you?
I tried to look away, but yeah, he pretty much like gets down on the floor and cuddles with his dead body for a little bit, and then drives away.
Yeah, he drives to Lee. I'm assuming, right?
What did we say? This was a week before the Lee murders. Then yeah, because he actually mentions in the beginning of the episode that he has a friend named Lee Miglund
is,
who lives
yes.
in Chicago, so.
I'm pretty sure that's where he was on the way to following David's murder, but yeah, it's a shame.
I can't say that I prefer the next episode to this, but how would you rate this episode of what we usually rate it out of?
Is that a 5? I'd say 4. I like this and I like the previous episode. I just think it's kind of weird that they keep losing track of the whole Versace thing. I guess that's why, as you said in the next episode, they do mention him, like, or he is there, at least, but not, like, he's not, like a key part to the storyline.
It's just, like, a teaser, and it's weird.
What?
It's just, like, a teaser.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hey, remember, and that's kind of what they did in the previous episode. Whenever after he kills Lee, he just goes to the Versace store, the Versace store. And it's like, hey, remember what show you're watching? This is it. Like, this is the Versace show, even though it isn't. It's more of the Andrew show. But, I mean, yeah, I like the show quite a bit. And I think Darren Criss, honestly, I would be shocked if he didn't have, like, an Emmy nomination coming his way, because
he's wonderful.
He really is. Like, I didn't see Glee, you know, I don't watch that bullshit, but I'm, he is great. Like, I'm surprised he's not in more things, from what I gather.
I imagine he will be.
I think so. I think this is the role of a lifetime, in all honesty. And if you're lucky enough to get it, you'll probably, you know, knock it out of the park. And he is, so far. I was expecting to say the same Emmy recognition for Edgar Ramirez, but I have not seen him since episode 2. But he also vanishes into the role, and so is Penelope Cruz. However, they're just not in it that much. But that being said, I think there's, what, 8 episodes?
Is that
9?
All?
10?
Beats the shit out of me. I was going to ask you.
Oh, okay. I don't really know. But I guess we'll find out.
I want to see. Well, how many were in the O.J. Simpson trials?
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, Ryan Murphy is a busy man, so he probably just tries to keep it briefer nowadays. Like, I know he used to do, American Horror Story used to have 13 episodes a season, but now he's dropped it to 10.
Okay. I don't think there's that many, but American Horror Story is not as long. This episode, oh no, it's the next episode. There we go again. The next episode is like an hour and 20 minutes.
Really? Okay. Well, shit. God, I can't wait to see it. I'll watch it tomorrow, probably.
Well, that was the thing. Like, I don't know. Usually I don't watch it when it's on TV. Like, I always watch it online or something afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I saw it on and was like, yeah, after the last episode, I have to see this one right now.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. Same here. I'm really worried that it's going to fuck up my computer, but I think it's just my paranoia.
I was pleased the way it went back and answered my questions.
Gave more, yeah. But okay, I guess that's my spiel. I don't really have much else.
No, I got nothing. I got another podcast to do here in the next hour, so.
Okay.
Get cracking on some Stranger Things.
Yes, sounds good.
But, all right. Well, for everyone listening, please check out the other shows on the TV Zone Podcast Network. My Stranger Things show with co-host Jay. And whatever else we're doing currently on.
We'll have more for Frodo soon.
Yeah, we're doing for Frodo probably this weekend, I hope.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. So yeah, check out the TV Zone Podcast Network. Follow us at Podcast4 on Twitter. And that's what it's called, at Podcast4.
At Podcast, what a name.
Yeah, it's really, I don't know what happened. And at Movies for Life, send it to you on Instagram. And we will see you next week.
Have a good one.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.